My name is Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. I'm very pleased to be able to send it over to Studio 2A. My live guest this week, Ryan Chavira, he's got a show over at Mocha with a lot of other great artists as part of an event they're calling Sound and Noise. Here's Ryan live in Studio 2A. Thank you. name's Matt Milner. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Ryan Chivera. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So we've only got one person, but we've got a lot of stuff. So I want you to take a moment just to kind of paint a picture for folks who are listening at home. What is your setup here tonight?
Basically, I am running a Moog Opus 3 analog synthesizer, and I have two cassette decks that I use to simultaneously play cassettes for landscapes, textural sounds, and then I resonate with the cassettes using the synthesizer. And on top of everything, I like to dress it up with the guitar. And then those add the swells and the movements. So essentially you're swimming in vibrations, and then leaves room for pretty much, you know, whatever you want within the mixture of those instruments. But it's it's definitely it's open to just drone. Just get lost in.
Well, I'm glad you used the word swimming. I think that's very evocative, that there's a kind of a fluid, you know, liquid quality to the experience of listening to the music and of watching you play the music as well. And it's one of the things that I always enjoy about seeing your live act and seeing acts like this, in terms of the being kind of a conductor of one, so to speak, where you've got so many different elements that you're drawing upon. Focusing on the cassettes, so what is the source material that you're using tonight?
Source material for the cassettes are, they're just a collection of recordings that I've like cultivated over the years. But with my history of unlabeling and just kind of like recording on the tape without documenting what's being recorded on it, eventually I have recycled material. And with these, it's kind of like a treasure hunt, you know. And I have like boxes and boxes of cassettes just sitting at home for inspiration. And you just grab one, throw it in, and then see what happens, and then you start trying to resonate with the synth and the guitar, and eventually what happens is you'll discover within that mixture a collection of sounds, you'll find something that resonates with you on a spiritual level, and then if you're able to just carry out using that recording and the tools you have to kind of find a peace of mind and just like roll with it, then it's definitely what I'm aiming for.
How long have you been playing sets like this? So doing the solo, you know, looping, drawing on sound collage, this genre. How long have you been working with this?
Since 2000 and... I want to say 2010. It definitely really started to progress in Chicago. I was living out there from 2010 to 2013, and then found some influences from like-minded individuals doing their thing. And then I eventually just started practicing and practicing, and then eventually it turned to this this project that is, you know, just me doing what I usually do at home.
And before you found yourself working with this palette, what was your musical background before this? What were the kinds of projects that you were involved with before you were doing this?
I mean, it was pretty well-rounded. I was drumming for bands, playing guitar in bands. Basically, whenever and wherever I could be active as a musician and find an outlet to create and be productive, it was basically my mentality of just, like, do it. Open mind. And then just resonate with other people and collaborate with other people, and then see what happens, mm-hmm. you know? And like this project of trying to collect sounds and just run with it with different people, you know, you bring your sounds together and then form bands, and then, you know, however short-lived or long-lived they are, it's basically how it operated
sure.
or how it worked with who you knew and what they were doing and
yeah.
and how you influenced each other.
What's different when you're doing a project like this where you don't have other players to mm-hmm. Play off of, collaborate with? How does the creative process differ for this project?
Well, I feel whenever I am in the comfort of my collection of sounds, it has a development to it that is lacking communication. There is no like communication between me and my instrument. I'm basically just trying to resonate with it. Mm. And with people, you have this communication and sometimes miscommunication. Basically, it adds more work, but it also is a lot more fun, you know?
Sure.
And it's like, I have a lot of fun, you know, doing this at home, but then again, you know, I'd much rather be able to hang out with, you know, with my friends and do
right.
it, you know?
Sure.
So there are just two ways of looking at the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But I have fun either way.
Yeah. One thing that I kind of got a kick out of when I walked in here is seeing how you put together a set list for a set like this. So talk us through, I mean, people can't necessarily see what you have written down there, but what do you do when you're preparing for a set with this project to create some structure mm-hmm. and direction while still obviously allowing room for these songs to breathe and kind of take their own direction?
Well, with the amount of time that I have, I collect the material that I am somewhat rehearsed with,
mm-hmm.
And I like to think of them as shapes. Mm-hmm. And each set are movements to these particular shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had messaged you last night about in the set times, and you
yeah.
let me know, you know, 40, 45 minutes, and then, you know, three sets, divided it, and just I was like, I could do three 15-minute sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found some of the shapes that I've been working on and wanted to see if I could use 15 minutes of that material for each one of those movements
mm-hmm.
and then shaped the set around the night of tonight. Yeah.
So we're going to head back into the music here with the second set, but I do want to mention to folks, you're playing at Mocha.
It's going to be with Young Trucker, Eric Schlappi, R. Ariel, myself, and Altrice.
Excellent. It starts off a little after 7 o'clock over at Mocha, and we've got another set here on Locals Only. You're listening to Ryan Chavira live in Studio 2A. My name is Matt Milner. I'm live in Studio 2A with Ryan Chavira. Ryan, thank you so much again for coming down tonight. Really, really appreciate you spending the night with us.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been an exciting day. I kind of had the day off and spent the entire day preparing, so it's been really good. It's been
good.
Well. Yeah.
Good. So, this is a project that has a pretty prolific recorded output. You've got a number of releases that are up on Bandcamp, cassettes that you've put out with this project. How do you approach recording for a project like this?
Same way I do when I make the cassettes I use for these performances. It's kind of like whenever you feel inspired to write or to play your guitar, you want to do it in the moment you feel the inspiration. So a lot of the time, because I decide not to document everything by labeling or by organizing. I'm an organized person, but when it comes to like my music, it's all just in the stew of inspiration. And I tend to just revisit certain things, and when I do, I start putting those aside, and then they start collecting, and then eventually I start orchestrating those in a sequence, and then develop some sort of conceptual form, and then eventually I'm just like, yeah, I'd like to put this on the internet or share it with my friends, and that's basically how it happens.
Yeah,
all the stuff that all the things that I keep revisiting is because I resonate with them so well, and I kind of want to hang on to those.
Sure. And when you do find yourself, struck by, a batch of inspiration, and you have the sense that you want to go in and record and put out a sort of tangible product, do those, to use the term you used before, do some of the shapes from those recordings work their way into the live sets that you do?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you see the relationship between the recordings that you've done and the live set?
I can't recreate everything. A lot of the times when I'm inspired, I'll record it, but because I put myself in the zone or like some sort of like momentum, when I go back, a lot of the times I don't know how I did that, and I'm not going to stress myself out trying to recreate something that's already been done. So in a way, there's this like in the moment type of thing that I always like to bring. And so with these performances, in a way, I become a part of the audience because they are shapes and they are familiarities using the tools that I have, but also each performance is different in that aspect, depending on like the room you're in and so many other variables involved. And I like to keep it like that. It's more of like a free form, It's like if I put out a tape, of course there are certain songs or tracks or recordings I'd like to be able to recreate because I like to be able to recreate them. And then the ones that do happen naturally, but the ones that don't, I'm not gonna like give myself a hard time because I didn't remember how to play certain things. But that's the beauty of ambient music, is that you could just keep playing it and putting it out, and it's meant to be for me it's just like this peripheral vibrational force that is both recognized but also unrecognized. It's kind of like I said it earlier about this being more of a spiritual practice of just fine-tuning oneself, and that's basically what I like to bring to the table every time.
And I'm curious, as you're working on this music, do you have sort of other sensory experiences related to the music, meaning, while you're making a particular piece, do you have specific visual stimuli in mind? Are there times when...
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you find those other sources of stimulation and inspiration working their way into the music that we're hearing?
In terms of color and light, I've been experimenting with refracted light and more warm colors, complementary colors. Mm-hmm. And I've been working towards creating visuals to coincide with the performance. Mm. But that's a lot more time and dedication in itself. So right now I've just kind of spent more time with the music than the visuals, but slowly progressing with the visuals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do have some really great ideas, that I would love to, collaborate with others with, to get some sort of like, visual audio, collaboration with a lot of, you know, local, artists that, you know, would be nice to, participate in.
Yeah.
But as far as colors and textures go, I bought some, prisms and I have like a pink and a blue and a green and an amber. Mm-hmm. And I used those to refract light against the wall and stir them a bit. And then I have a harmonium that I was playing and having somebody else stir the light against the wall and wanted to capture that. Mm. And it's just simple audio visuals, you know?
Sure.
And it's a beautiful thing. It's like there's no need to conceptualize vibration other than just feel it, I feel like.
Yeah,
getting ahead of ourselves in terms of those things.
So I want to remind folks again that over at Mocha, show starts up a little after 7 o'clock. You have a number of recordings that are up on Bandcamp. People can find your music there. And is there anything else on the horizon we want to mention before we wrap up this last set?
November 24th at Solar Culture with Mute Swan and Wand. Hmm. That's going to be a good night. I'll be performing with those two great bands, and it should be an epic evening. And I've never performed at Solar Culture, but I've grew up going there and going to shows, so I'm looking forward to projecting good vibrations.
Excellent. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you again for coming down tonight. We're going to wrap things up here with one more set by Ryan Chavira here on Locals Only. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Ryan.